This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. It is the Zach Yelp Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. And right now, it's a pleasure to bring on a running back from the Minnesota Vikings, also played his college football at Boise State, and that's Alexander Mattison, kind enough to give us a few minutes right now on the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. Alex, first off, thanks for the time, and how are you?
Of course, my pleasure. I'm doing great. Just taking this time right now to do whatever I can to better myself, and just really staying strong and staying away from all the troubles.
Yeah, let me first start you off with all that's going on right now in the last few days in Minnesota, and we've all seen the horrible video and the murder of George Floyd, and we've seen what has happened in the aftermath of that murder. You now calling Minnesota home, you now playing for the Vikings. How do you react to what you're witnessing, you know, in your home, you know, in your home state, in your home city right now?
It's just one of those things, a very unfortunate event that we all are grieving over, especially just seeing how it was a situation that we've seen too often over the course of the years. And so during this time, you know, it's just one of those things where in my mind, I'm just trying to make sure that I stay home and stay away from all the stuff that's going on, especially, you know, it's right here, a city over. And, I never thought I'd be in a position where, you know, I'm right next door to something like this happening, you know, seeing it on the news and things like that over the time. But I never really thought it'd be right here in the backyard. So it is something that is very unfortunate. But, you know, we have to try and get through this and try and I'm trying to be as peaceful as I can and just, grieve from afar.
Right now, and I think that's the perfect way to say it, people are grieving, people are angry, and deservedly so. And we've seen some things that have happened in Minneapolis since then with buildings getting put on fire. We've seen looting going on. As someone that has a big platform like yourself, what would you say? What is your message to the people of Minneapolis right now that are hurting?
I would say that, you know, it's something that, especially just knowing that these people are only acting out of, trying to make a statement, trying to have their voices heard. But, you know, it's never the right thing to go and cause destruction and do things like that. So I would just say, you know, there's a peaceful way to do this. And as far as everything going on, I just, you know, give my love and support and condolences to his family, and just hope that, you know, we can all get past this and come out better on the other side with as least harm as possible done.
Alexander Mattison here with us on the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio from the Minnesota Vikings. This has been an unprecedented offseason as the entire world right now is dealing with COVID-19. As an athlete, not being sure when the season is going to start, what are you doing to try to build some more chemistry with your teammates and also get your body in the best possible shape?
You know, right now it's just one of those times where a lot of this stuff, the off season, is definitely something new to a lot of the guys who have had previous experience. But for me, you know, I haven't had an NFL off season yet, so I'm kind of just trying to pick the brains of some of the guys TJ Ham. I've been in contact with him a lot, just learning his ways, and Adam Thielen, and working out with some of those guys, and just trying to stay in tip-top shape, and tuning in and focusing up in these virtual meetings that we have, and just doing exactly the most that I can during this time to try and prepare for this upcoming season.
How do you recap this past season that you just had as a rookie in the National Football League?
I think it was, you know, for me, I have like a thing. I have a never satisfied mentality. So for me, I know there's a lot of room of improvement. I know that I have a lot more to offer. And so that's something I'm super excited about as far as growing and developing and proving, you know, that I have more in the tank and more to offer and continuously just striving to be that. But I definitely am proud of the season I was able to put together and that we were able to put together. And I just know that we have a lot as a unit, as a running back room that we can improve on and that we're excited to show.
And leading that running back room, Dalvin Cook just came off his third season in the National Football League. Take me through a little bit about the teammate that Dalvin Cook is, because that's a pretty unique situation when you have two young running backs leading the way in that running back room.
Yeah, Dalvin's an awesome guy. He's a down-to-earth, genuine guy, and that's probably the best part of his whole game is the person that he is off the field and that he is in the locker room and in the running back room. He's just a leader by example. He's a leader. His overall character is uplifting, and you know, I try and feed off of that, and I try and learn from him. And Dalvin does what he does, and he's a special type of back. And so I'm just trying to learn from him, and it's been exciting so far, and I'm super excited to continue it.
Take me through the reactions and the emotions of that first playoff game. Not many people are giving you a chance. You're going into New Orleans. You're playing the Saints. It's wild card weekend. And that was, you know, one of the more exuberant football games that we saw this past year with an incredible finish. Take me through those emotions.
Yeah, it was one of those games where, you know, we were preparing, trying to play our best football that we've played all season long. And going into that game, we knew that, you know, we're walking into a place where it's going to be a hostile environment. We just have to play the best of our ability. And that game was the loudest game I've ever played in my life. I'm helmet to helmet with Kurt and barely could hear him. So it was one of those games that it was just down to the wire, and it was an amazing feeling when we walked in that locker room and we were all shouting and celebrating with each other.
How much pride did the team take in that victory? Obviously, you clearly the goal is to win that playoff game, but we saw the scene in the locker room after the game where Kirk yells to you guys. You like that, and we all know the criticism that Kirk is under constantly in that quest to try to get a Super Bowl ring. So how much did that mean to get that win? I don't necessarily want to say for Kirk, but in a way, it seemed like you guys did really galvanize about some of the things that were being said about your quarterback.
Yeah, I can't personally speak on how he takes that, but I know that for sure some people around the world might be lighting a fire that they might not be able to put out. Kirk, he's an awesome guy and awesome leader, and you know, he led us, and it was an awesome experience for me to experience, you know, his first postseason win along with my own. So yeah, he's a great leader, and yeah, I think that there's something lit inside of him that is going to keep burning and continue to grow.
You're in that locker room. Give me some more specifics. You tell me why Kirk Cousins can lead a team to a Super Bowl in the National Football League.
He has all the boxes checked off. I'd say everything other than maybe a fast 40 time is something that he has that you're looking for in a quarterback. He's extremely smart, extremely aware. He's one of those guys that can really pick apart a defense in 10 words, and you can really understand it. And he's definitely one of those leaders that is not just a leader on the field. And that's a lot of guys in the locker room. He's not just a leader on the field. He's a leader off the field. He'll take you under his wing and treat you as his brother. And so, he's just one of those guys that he has the capability of getting people to follow him. And when you believe in something, you believe in someone, it works wonders.
Alexander Mattison here with us from the Minnesota Vikings. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So you defeat the Saints. It's an emotional high. Then the next week you had the San Francisco 49ers. Offense did not have the performance that they would have liked. How about the way that your season did finish up against the 49ers, and what do you take, and how does this team try to grow from that second-round playoff game?
Yeah, we definitely wanted that outcome to be different, but, you know, we went into there, and at the end of the day, we didn't give up, and we fought, and we were able to learn a lot from that game and test a lot of characters and test a lot of different things within our system and our players itself. But I think that we took a lot from that game, and we understand our potential with this team, with the additions and with the departures. We still understand that we're capable of something special here in Minnesota, and that's something that we're striving for every day. The chemistry is there. We're building that every single day. Even through virtual meetings, we're still trying to build that chemistry and still trying to stay together and stay strong. And I think that at the end of the day, we have a lot to prove, and we all understand that. We all are willing to put our lives on the line to do that. So, I think there's a lot to come out of this organization, this team, and we're striving for that, and we're hungry for that.
There was a lot being said during the season last year and in this past offseason about Stephon Diggs, and Stephon was clearly unhappy, and now he has a new home being in Buffalo. Being in that locker room, what did you take away? How do you describe being a part of that last year with Stephon and your relationship with him?
He was a guy that was one of those kind of like a distant big brother to me. You know, he kind of pick on me here and there and give me some advice here and there. And so really appreciate all that he was able to do for our team and do for me. Whether it was just a couple inspirational words here and there, or just even chewing me out early on when I messed up a play and kind of affected him. Those are some things that I take away and understand. You know, he's extremely passionate about this game of football. And that's anything that was stipulated around him being, a problem or an issue had nothing to do with his personality, but just the fact that he was so passionate about the game. So, yeah, a lot of respect to him, and, I wish nothing but the best for him.
Were you disappointed that he wanted out and that he got traded?
It's disappointing just because, that's someone that you've grown to know and someone that you obviously want to be a part of the team, who has a big impact for the team and in that locker room. But you understand, this game, this league, it's a business, and there's just some things that just have to happen that may not be of the best interest of some people, but in the best interest for others. So it's understandable.
When he got traded to Buffalo from Minnesota, what was going through your mind, and how'd you find out about the news?
I saw a post on Instagram, and it was kind of shocking. I was, messaging around, texting around to try and find out if it was true or if it was just some false information. But it was, it was one of those things like, wow, dang. But you kind of just understand. You look into it, you understand the situation, you understand the background of it all. And at the end of the day, people have to make decisions, and you can't do nothing but respect that.
It's actually wild, and that's just the world that we live in. And being close in age, me and you, that's how we were raised, where you find out so much news, even if you're practically involved in the news, on Twitter, on Instagram, all social media. That's got to be tough still when you just turn on your phone one day, innocently go on Instagram. The next thing you see your teammates traded.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, high school, college, you never had to deal with anything like that. You might wake up to your teammate is suspended or something, or fell to class or something, so he can't play in the next game or whatever. But, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, he's no longer part of this team and he won't be going forward. So it's like, that's different. I didn't expect to just wake up to something like that, but it's a business. And I hear that from some of the vets and some of the guys, like Eric Kendricks, my locker buddy, who's also been a guy to take me under his wing. Just let me know, he's been a part of this team. He's been a part of coaching changes. He's been a part of players leaving the locker room and coming in the locker room. So yeah.
Clearly, you've been through a lot this offseason, as everyone's dealing with COVID-19, and now you see what's going on in your home in Minneapolis the last few days. Mentally, with all the grind that you go through during the season, how do you try to clear your mind? I know that could be difficult in this offseason with all going on in the world, but what do you try to do to clear your mind and put yourself in the best mental shape to get the best version of Alexander Madison for this upcoming season?
Really, a lot of just spending time with my family, spending time here with my mom and my girlfriend and my best friend. And, you know, we're all here together. I was able to spend some time back home with my family in California before, you know, it really kind of started getting on shutdown mode and I had to get back here. But, yeah, spending time with my family is one of my number one priorities. And it's something that helps me really get away from the game a little bit. And started back up school, so that's keeping me busy. Starting to learn how to produce and record music, you know, tapping back into playing the saxophone a little bit, playing some Madden here and there. So just a combination of different things that keep myself busy and really just trying to dive in and really expand my knowledge on our playbook, the system, and really grow from what I was able to do last year and just really grow and improve on that. And so, yeah, I've been staying busy this off season, and I'm going to keep it up until we get out there on that field and I can lay down a foundation of a new Alexander Madison.
Are you better at creating music or playing Madden?
Definitely would probably say Madden.
Do you play with the Vikings, I would have to imagine?
Yeah, always.
Now, do you put yourself as running back one, or do you get Dalvin Cook still his proper reps?
I usually get him warmed up and put myself in the second half.
A few more with Alexander Madison. Something I've always admired about you, and I remember seeing a piece about you, I want to say in 2018, that the former Boise State player Ian Johnson, the legend, was narrating the piece, is that you always understood that football shouldn't define you, and you always understood the significance of education. Why were you able to grasp that as such a young age and have those aspirations to be something more than just a football player?
I think a lot of it stemmed from the way I grew up. My parents doing a great job of just raising us and letting us know. Even at that time, we started playing football young, that we couldn't practice, we couldn't play in the game if we had a C, if our homework wasn't done. You know, I'd be at practice doing homework before practice started, trying to finish my homework before I could actually suit up and get out there and practice. And I think that kind of instilled that work ethic in me and my brothers to really just continue to strive for nothing less than excellence. And on top of that, I just knew just the predicament, the city, you know, the lifestyle that we were in and was surrounded by, that I didn't want to be a product of my environment. And I knew that whether it was football or not, that I had to find a way out. And, you know, that was just being the best version of myself I could possibly be. And found that in the classroom and found that, you know, once you got straight A's one time, it's kind of like it's addicting, and you got to make sure you get paranoid of B's. So that's kind of how my mentality was, and I just knew that I wasn't going to let football define who I was, and I was going to make it out regardless.
You just started your pro football career, and I don't know how much you think about your future, but whenever your football career does end, and hopefully it's no time soon, and you have a nice, long, successful career in the league, what do you want to do life after football? What are some of your aspirations post-football life?
We'll definitely want to do something that's tied into giving back to the youth and making sure that I'm already getting some things in the works going on right now. Already outlined the start of a children's book, getting my summer camp and things like that going, getting my brand going. So, you know, I really want to do a lot of different things. I want to be able to start and open up my own personal training facility. And then on top of that, I just kind of want to just do whatever I can to be an impact and bring that inspiration to kids that I needed. And fortunately, even though I didn't have that, I've got to a point where now I can be that. And so I hope that I can be that for some kids in the future.
And before we let you run, I just have to ask you about your Boise State experience. You got better each and every year. And that third year there, you had a tremendous year on the football field. What did you take away from the Boise State experience? And how did Alexander Madison, in closing, change as a person, not only as a player, but also as just a person from when you got onto campus and then when you left it?
Yeah, definitely would say that. I tell people all the time, too, that going to Boise State was one of the best decisions I made in my life. The experiences that I've gained, the lessons I've learned from the coach. I can't thank Coach Harson, Coach Marks enough for the things they've taught me while I was there, the brothers that I've gained while I was there, and just really that winning culture, that blue-collar mentality is something that's going to stick with me for the rest of my life. And, you know, going out there on that blue is a different feeling. And from that experience overall, being in that environment, being there, I've definitely grown a lot and I have learned a lot. And I think that one of the biggest things is how contagious that culture is, and that blue-collar work ethic, that blue-collar mentality that'll pull you through any tough times and pull you through any trials and tribulations. So, yeah, I definitely would say that blue-collar mentality is a staple of who I am today, and it came from my experiences at Boise State.
Well, I really do appreciate the time. Good luck, good health, and please stay safe. And we'll see you on the football field hopefully sometime soon in the fall this year. Thanks so much, Alex.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure. Really appreciate it.
There's Alexander Mattison from the Minnesota Vikings. We'll do onsides, offsides next. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies. For current and new customers, it lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Let's get to onsides, offsides right now.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Ryan Tracy, what do you got for me?
All right, Zach, so going back to the start of the show, NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski reported that he believes 20 to 22 teams will be invited to restart the NBA season. Now, this morning, ESPN NBA reporter Brian Windhorst said that the NBA is, quote, making sure Zion Williamson and the Pelicans are involved in the league's plans. Now, as of now, the Pelicans would be on the outside of the playoffs looking in. In 19 games, the Duke star was averaging nearly 24 points per game in under 30 minutes of contest. So onsides or offsides, the NBA should expand the playoff field to specifically showcase Zion Williamson.
Let's be real. When we look at the teams, when you get into that, all right, expanded to maybe 20 to 22 category, the two teams that people are going to say are the most exciting teams to watch will be Zion Williamson's New Orleans Pelicans and then Damian Lillard's Portland Trailblazers. The league is absolutely trying to get Zion into some sort of playoff or try to expand his value for this season in creating some formula to give him an opportunity to make the playoffs. With what has gone on, and when we're thinking about safety, the safest thing if you're doing one location, your current top eight teams in the East, Eastern Conference playoffs. Current top eight teams in the West, Western Conference playoffs. That's what you should do. So, offsides, the NBA should expand the playoffs to specifically showcase Zion Williamson. I do say offsides, they should not.
Offside!
Number two.
So as we talked about earlier in the show, Arizona Cardinals wideout DeAndre Hopkins believes he's the best wide receiver in the NFL. The former Houston Texan joined Jalen and Jacoby on Thursday and said, quote, I definitely think I'm the best. I know I'm the best. Mike's my boy. I love Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas, but he knows if I had Drew Brees my whole career with what these numbers would be, end quote. So onsides or offsides, DeAndre Hopkins is the best wide receiver in the NFL.
58.1% of our poll questions say no. 41.9% say yes. I say yes. Now, you're splitting hairs when you talk about who's the best wide receiver in football, probably between DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, and Michael Thomas. You could include a Mike Evans in that conversation for like the third or fourth best wide receiver, maybe Tyreek Hill as well. And that's probably where you draw the line in the sand, not including AB because he's not in the league right now. But when I think of the best wide receivers in the league, first three names that come to mind, Hopkins, Jones, and Thomas. And when you have all great players, you have to say something like negative to diminish the other two to have one rise to the top. Michael Thomas has played with Drew Brees. Now, he's also played five games with Teddy Bridgewater. Julio Jones has played with, at one point, an MVP quarterback in Matt Ryan. I look at DeAndre Hopkins. Yes, he has played with Deshaun Watson and will play with Kyler Murray. But then there was a year in 2015 where he had Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett, Brandon Whedon, and TJ Yates. And he had over 110 catches, over 1,500 yards, and over 10 touchdowns. That's absurd. in 2014 when playing with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He had a game where he had 9 receptions for 238 yards and 2 touchdowns. And oh yeah, by the way, in 2018, he didn't drop 1 football. So when you ask me to differentiate Hopkins, Jones, and Thomas, it's like asking a parent how to pick their favorite child. It's a tough answer. Well, unless in my family, they would pick me, clearly, compared to my sister, but that's fine. I would go DeAndre Hopkins, though, here, slightly because he's played with the quarterbacks that have not been of the same value consistently as Jones and Thomas. Doesn't mean Jones and Thomas could go play with a crappy quarterback and put up great stats. They can, but I'll go with DeAndre Hopkins right now as the best wide receiver in the league.
All right, when Jim Harbaugh took the job at Michigan in 2015, he had one goal in mind, win a national title. The Wolverines have done well under Harbaugh with a record of 47-18, but are a putrid 0-5 versus Ohio State. Coach Harbaugh told 24/7 Sports that he believes the Wolverines are close to winning a title, saying, quote, "I mean, just look back over the last few years that we've been here, the last 5 years. About as close as you can possibly be. But we've got to get over the top. That's what drives us," end quote. On sides or off sides, Jim Harbaugh will win a national championship as the head coach of Michigan.
This is a funny question. Mikey B with a funny question who writes these. Will Jim Harbaugh beat Ohio State first? Will Jim Harbaugh win a Big Ten East division first? How about the Big Ten championship game first? A national championship after going 0-5 against Ohio State? He's 1-4 in bowl games. Hasn't won a Big Ten Eastern Division Championship, and hasn't won a Big Ten Championship, and hasn't even got to a college football playoff berth yet. So through 5 years, and yes, Michigan has taken some strides. It's better than Rich Rod. It's better than Brady Hoke. You have three double-digit win seasons with Coach Harbaugh. But a national championship, that means you're going to most likely have to defeat Ohio State. You're most likely going to have to win the Big Ten Eastern Division, then win the Big Ten Championship. Then you're in the college football playoff. Then you got to win 2 games to do so. Harbaugh may be there for a long time. I wonder when people start to sour on him. I still think he's a good coach. His offense has been stale at times. A national championship? I can't see it, though, right now with what I've seen in the first 5 years when in the big games, his team and mainly his offense doesn't show up. So I go offsides here.
Offside.
Number 4.
The last 2 NFC head coaches to make it to the Super Bowl were both hired back in 2017. Sean McVay with the Rams and Kyle Shanahan with the 49ers. McVay's Rams lost Super Bowl 53 to the Patriots, while Shanahan's 49ers fell to the Chiefs, obviously this past year, Super Bowl 54. Now, both men are some of the brightest offensive minds in football, but still have a lot to prove and have fallen short on the biggest stage. So onsides or offsides, if you had to choose between one of these 2 men to coach your franchise for the next 10 years, it would be Sean McVay.
Ooh. That's a good question. It's a very good question. Shanahan, twice in a Super Bowl, has not performed well. Blew a 28-3 lead. You may have heard about it by now. Then, this past year was up 10 with about 7.5 to go. Didn't win the game. Should have elected to run the football and threw the football. Ball did get batted down at the line of scrimmage on a pass by Jimmy G. I think McVay is the better coach. Now, who may have more success in their current situation? That's a different question. I know that's not this question. San Francisco is set up for better long-term success. There's just something about McVay that I slightly like better than Kyle Shanahan. Both young, innovative offensive minds. I think the leadership, though, not saying Shanahan's a bad leader, but that's the difference for me. The leadership of McVay, how young he is, to be able to get to a Super Bowl that early is quite the impressive accomplishment. So even though Shanahan is still a young coach, he's 40 years old, and then you look at Sean McVay, who is so young. It's ridiculous how young Sean McVay is, being 34 years old. I don't know. I go McVay here, so I go on sides here. McVay. It's close, though. It would not have been close going into this season, but what Shanahan did this year with the 49ers, very impressive. But I do lean more towards McVay, so I go McVay on sides. Finally, let's go.
All right, we'll finish up with this. Last week, it was reported that the Brooklyn Nets were internally discussing potential trades for Washington Wizards guard Bradley Beal. Now, despite the fact that Beal already signed a two-year, $72 million extension before the start of the 2019-2020 season, he's been a prime trade target for teams across the league since the Wizards haven't experienced any success in recent years. Beal spoke to ESPN's Jack McMullen and said, quote, "It's not the first time I've heard this kind of talk. It's interesting. To me, I look at it as a sign of respect that I've been doing good things and guys want to play with me," end quote. On sides or off sides, the Nets will be favorites to win the East if they added Bradley Beal.
Wow. Now, is that with the healthy KD and Kyrie?
You'd assume, right? He's probably talking about 2020, 2021, so yes.
So if they're healthy, you look at that Eastern Conference. Raptors, very good year this year. Nick Nurse, coach of the year. They'd be better than the Raptors. Celtics, you got Kemba, Jaylen Brown, and you're really led by Jason Tatum. If KD and Kyrie are healthy with Bradley Beal, the Nets are a better team. Sixers, stop. Ben Simmons needs to learn how to shoot a three-point ball first. Miami, good season, would not be better than the Nets. So really it's a conversation of the Bucks or the Nets. And if the Nets are healthy, KD's number two is Kyrie. Giannis Antetokounmpo, who should win back-to-back MVPs, his number two is Chris Middleton. And then the third best player on the Nets is Bradley Beal. Yeah, I would go with the Nets then. I would say the Nets would be the favorites to win the East if KD and Kyrie are healthy and they add Bradley Beal, and I'll give you another if Kyrie Irving wants to be a good teammate as well. If you get the most out of those three and they play to the level that they're capable of, that Nets team would be the favorite in the East on sides. That's on sides, off sides. It is the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let me break here. When we come on back, we have to end the show right with the closing bell. Whose stock is booming? Whose stock is dooming?
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys. And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what? Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's end the show with the closing bell. We'll get to that right now.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Here's a statement from the head coach of the Miami Dolphins and Brian Flores about what has happened this past week in regards to George Floyd, who was murdered by a police officer. And now we have seen some of the protests that have been going on, and a lot of protests have gotten very violent. Brian Flores did say, "I've had the privilege of being a part of many different circles that have included some very powerful and influential people of all different races and genders. The events of the last few weeks have brought some of the memories of those conversations back to light." Brian Flores said he vividly remembered the Colin Kaepernick conversation. "Don't ever disrespect the flag" was the phrase that I heard over and over again. "This idea that players were kneeling in support of social justice was something some people couldn't wrap their heads around. The outrage that I saw in the media and the anger I felt in some of my own private conversations caused me to sever a few long-standing friendships. Most recently, I've had conversations about incentivizing teams for hiring minorities." Again, there was some outrage in the media and talks that this would cause division amongst coaches, executives, and ownership. I bring these situations up because I haven't seen the same outrage from people of influence when the conversations turn to Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and most recently George Floyd. Many people who broadcast their opinion on kneeling or on the hiring of minorities don't seem to have an opinion on the recent murders of these young black men and women. I think many of them quietly say that watching George Floyd plead for help is one of the more horrible things they have seen. But it is said amongst themselves where no one can hear. Broadcasting that opinion clearly is not important enough. I led a group of young men who have the potential to make a real impact in this world. My message to them, and anyone else who wants to listen, is that honesty, transparency, and empathy go a long way in bringing people together and making change. I hope the tragedies of the last few weeks will open our hearts and minds to a better way of communicating and hopefully create that change. Let me just say this. What has happened and what we have seen happen to people like George Floyd is unacceptable. It is absolutely disgusting and it is heartbreaking. You try to find the right words in this situation and they are tough to find those right words. And whenever we get in this conversation and through time, and you may not like everything that Colin Kaepernick did, but through time when you listen, and listening is an important part, you understand the message of Colin Kaepernick. And I did that where I listened. I went into an NFL locker room like the Philadelphia Eagles, and conversations that I had by listening to Malcolm Jenkins and Chris Long did a lot in shaping my opinions and hearing both sides. The reality is we need cops in America. But we need the good cops, not the bad cops. And if you are a bad cop who abuses your power, you shouldn't be able to be a cop. But we do need good cops. And I would not want to be a cop. Let me be the first one to say this. And I admire many cops who do the right thing. However, when a cop does the wrong thing, it leads to something like this, what we've seen happen to George Floyd. And it's not just George Floyd, but it's his family that will have to grieve and carry this for the rest of their life. So I hope and I pray that one day we get to a point, even though it may be unrealistic, but it gets to a point, just with how much we've seen of this, that it gets to a point where it doesn't happen again. And that's all I could do, is pray for that and hope that that happens. But also we could promote healthy discussions. And when you have discussions, it's important not just to yell, but to listen. And in the aftermath, and I understand that there are many intense feelings, many people are annoyed, and they should be annoyed, and many people are upset and frustrated. We're doing this show, and each and every break tonight, myself and Ryan Hickey have been discussing what we're seeing on the internet right now. And sometimes there are things that are bigger than sports, and a lot of times people will tell me, I'll shut up and just stick to sports. Doing a show like this is tough to do when we get out of our sports bubble and you know and you're cognizant of what's going on in the world. And you see what has happened in the aftermath. There's a lot of anger. And we've seen buildings being set on fire. We've seen looting go on, and that's unacceptable. Just like the initial action and what happened to George Floyd was unacceptable, burning of a building and ruining a business, as you've seen in some places that did nothing wrong in this case, is also unacceptable as well. I don't know how we create change. I don't know how we make the world a better place. All I know is how I live my life. And I like to live a life full of diversity and a life where you listen and you hear and you have positive discussions and you have an open mind. Unfortunately, not everybody is like that. So for Brian Flores, which is not an easy thing to do to release that statement, because in some way he will actually get a lot of criticism for that statement. But I commend him for challenging people to be better and challenging people to give their opinions about this publicly and use their platform. And we have a platform here, and I'll use my platform here, and I really do hope that we can get better in each individual state, in each individual country, and a world as a whole. And I've heard some of my friends, Ike Reese on Sports Radio 94 WIP today. He was magnificent. You know, you have the rewind function on the radio.com app. I encourage you, go to WIP. It's a station in Philadelphia. Ike Reese, former Eagles linebacker and special teams player, he gave one of the more moving statements that you'll hear. I also encourage you to listen to Steven Jackson as well. And if you're looking for the Ike Reese audio, it's about like 2:45 today on 94 WIP in Philadelphia. But stock up to everyone that's saying the right thing right now, because that message needs to be heard. You know what? We're gonna shut it down there for the closing bell today. I got a whole lot of other stuff. I wanted to say positive things about David Price and what he's doing. You have the JT Daniels transfer. It's just tough when you have these things come up and we're right at the end of the show to speak what we just did talk about and then get into, you know, talking about a positive thing of James Harden losing 20 pounds or yelling about Goodell not having Dave Portnoy over for the charity that he won, which was a story, or getting mad at Harbaugh or getting mad at the NBA for increasing the playoff format or Matt LaFleur. It's tough. It is. And right now we're going through a very tough time. And there is no doubt about it. There is no trying to diminish the situation. And you think about what has happened to not only George Floyd, and may he rest in peace, but to his family and what they have to live through and what other people fear about. And as a white man, I don't know how to live in fear of the police necessarily. And when you have black people that keep on getting murdered, that's something that is scary. And I heard Ike Reese talk about it. He's had those conversations with his son. Once again, we need the good cops. We don't need the bad cops. And that goes for every profession in this world. We need the good people, not the bad people. Hope you enjoyed the show today. Hope everyone's staying safe. Hope everyone's making the right decision. And we'll be back Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio. I'd like to thank the best crew in the business, Ryan Tracicki, Tom DiBenedetto, Stuart Kovacs, and Mike Biseglia. I'm Zach Gill, the very talented JR Sport Brief. Coming up next, I'm in the same CBS Sports Radio affiliate, SiriusXM 206 in the radio.com application. Peace. Good night.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.